Let's turn in our Bibles. Ecclesiastes. When you find it, stand, we'll read our text. I actually want you to find two places in your Bible. I'll just have you find the other one when you're seated. But start in Ecclesiastes 4. And we'll read verse 9 through 12. Okay. The Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Tonight we're going to be talking about having the right kinds of friends. And the title is, It Matters Who Your Friends Are. That's the title. It Matters Who Your Friends Are. Okay, so let me pray, and then I'm going to have you turn to another passage, and we're going to look at it. Father, I pray your help tonight, that you would help us to hear and receive and understand your word. I pray that you would help us to be touched, God, because that's the part, even if we hear and receive and understand, we trust, Lord, that it's your spirit that's going to convict and touch us, and we need that. Without your touch, Lord, we can't be guided in the right path. So we pray for your help in that way. Help our hearts to be soft and pliable and tender and to be the kind of soil that receives the word. And we'll give you glory for what you do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. Turn in your Bible. Keep a ribbon or a paper or something here and go to 2 Samuel 13. We're not going to look at a lot of verses in this passage, but there's a phrase in one of the verses that it won't have the impact unless you see the words. It matters who your friends are. Well, how much does it matter, Pastor? Does anybody remember the infamous story of Amnon in 2 Samuel 13? Amnon had been tempted by this vexing lust that he had for a woman named Tamar. And this desire that he had in him was really vexing him. And lust has a way of doing that. It has a way of vexing you, blinding you, making you, you know, pursue things that are way outside of the realm of God's blessings. Even in our passions, even in our thinking, you know, our lust can do that. But what we'll see in this story, when you study this, what you'll find is that Amnon didn't have a plan in place to pursue the lust that he had for Tamar. The lust was there, the seed was there, but he hadn't thought about pursuing this or putting a plan together to capitalize on the lust that he was having. Until we get to verse 3. Look what it says. But Amnon had a friend. Well, who was this friend? Whose name was Jonadab. The son of Shimea, David's brother, Jonadab was a very subtle man. So with this influence, this friend that Amnon had, the lust that was already there was given a direction from Jonadab, and put a plan in place to pursue this lust, and with this plan and with this strategy abducted this woman Tamar, effectively shattering the life of Tamar, or at least the hopes that she would have had to have a normal life. Amnon shattered that when he took advantage of her and abducted her. And then it eventually destroyed the life of Amnon, literally. Because Absalom, Tamar's brother, found out what Amnon had done to his sister and formulated his own plan and his own strategy for revenge, and in time finally had Amnon slaughtered. And so it destroyed Amnon. Can I say that it matters who your friends are? Yeah. Last time we talked about in Ecclesia, you can lose your place here. I do want you to be reminded or keep it in the fresh, like at the front of your mind, that Amnon had a friend. Lose your place there and go back to Ecclesiastes. Last time we were in Ecclesiastes, we talked about the loneliness of greed. And really, you can't take one word away from that phrase, the loneliness of greed, because greed leads you to loneliness. And often what you'll find if you're a tremendously lonely person, there's indications of greed there. So those two generally go together. Solomon contrasted in this passage that we're studying now the loneliness of greed with the benefits of companionship. Whenever you have a good friend, when you have good friends. He cited several advantages that come from having good friends in this passage. And can I say with confidence and to me a reasonable amount of just natural agreeance about this, that everyone needs to have a good friend. Everyone needs to have good friends. Everybody needs that. Now, with that phrase in mind, we also need to clarify what it means to have a good friend. What classifies a good friend over against a bad friend? What makes somebody a good friend? Well, it says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so a friend that would be biblically classified as a good friend would be somebody who sharpens you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." So having the wrong kinds of friends, it corrupts your, you know, the values, the character that you have. It corrupts your character. Proverbs 13:20 says this. It puts both of them in the same verse, the good and the bad. He says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I talk about this a lot, and those of you who've been in my office in the past few months, you've probably heard me talk about this. And that is, there are things that we need in our life if we're going to be a strong Christian. There are things that you need. There are fundamentals to putting yourself on a path of growing. Growing Christians are on this road and doing these fundamental basic things. One of those things, if you're going to be a growing Christian, one of those fundamentals is having a good friend. You can't escape it. You need it. We all need it. Ephesians 4:12 says this, and by the way, if you're not sure what verse, don't turn there, but if you're not sure what verse it is, then just go out in the foyer after church and read the three signs above the coffee table. One of them says, growing, serving, investing. It comes from, all three of those phrases come from the verse Ephesians 4:12, which says perfecting of the saints, the work that's growing, the work of the ministry, that's serving, and the edifying of the body of Christ, that's investing. And with that last phrase, the edifying of the body of Christ, that's what friends do. The good kind of friends are the ones who edify, the ones who encourage, the ones who inspire, the ones who, you know, work together with you to help you to become more sharpened for Christ. We need friends like that. It matters who your friends are. Why is that? Because there are friends that will make you stronger, and there are friends who will make you weaker. It matters who your friends are because there are friends who will build you up, and there are friends who will break you down. In other words, not just any kind of friend will do. You need to have what God says is a good friend. And so in this passage, Solomon gives four reasons every person needs a good friend. Number one, if you're taking notes, two is better than one. That sounds basic, right? So this is very convicting. When we get into it, I think you'll see. Two is better than one. He said that in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. A good reward here means a better profit in working. Two can get... The basic idea here is that two can get more work done than one. That's sort of the idea. I mean, you would bring in a larger profit if you get more work done. Therefore, just it's reasonable to conclude two are better than one. I know sometimes two is worse than one, right? So there are exceptions to the concept of getting more work done when you have two versus then when you have one. Let me give you an example. Let me give you three examples. And if we're counting the amount of people that I'm talking about, it would be four to be specific. But anyway, working on the deck in the backyard. If you want to see the process or the progress, just drive by and look back there and you'll see a big mess. And we're trying to build a deck. We're buying like six boards at a time because lumber is so expensive. But anyway, sometimes when you're building something, you're taking one step forward and two steps backwards depending on who's your helpers. You know, like I have one helper who's handing me screws and another helper that dropped them on the ground and is walking on them and they're stuck in the mud. So figure out how you're going to use that screw, you know. You level out the whole platform and then the kids decided to play hopscotch on them and now it's not level, you know. So there's the exception of whether or not we're getting more work done when I have helpers or we're getting less work done. Or how about cleaning the house? Cleaning the house, generally speaking, you would think, how could you mess that up? You know, there are times when I wonder, this looks worse than before when you started cleaning it, you know. So there's been that. But you're going to get more done when you have help in cleaning the house, right, Mom? You're going to get more done if you have helpers. Mowing the lawn. When you mow, you'll mow, but then you have to weed eat, and then you have to spot mow, and different yards have different scenarios. If it's just you, it takes you longer. If you have helpers, it goes faster. So there's times when it's understandable that, you know, that it'll go faster if you have two, or if it's better, you know, as far as the work that's getting accomplished if you have two. Sometimes it's less if you have, you know, certain kinds of helpers. Paul always traveled with somebody. That's something interesting to note about the Apostle Paul. It was Paul and Barnabas. It was Paul and Silas. It was Paul and Timothy. It was Paul and Luke. It was always Paul and. You know what Paul never did? He never traveled alone. He never tried to minister by himself. The great Apostle Paul wrote half the New Testament. Never did it on his own. He's an example, isn't he? The same is true for us. A singer needs the pianist. The choir isn't a choir if it's just you. That's a solo. A choir means there's more than one. Moving a pew. Praise God, we got all the pews moved. You know what I know about moving pews? I'm not doing it by myself. You're going to have help. Have you ever said or thought something like this? I would rather do this by myself. I would rather not have anybody with me. I would rather just do this, and it would be really great if you just left me alone. You know, there's a job to be done. Solomon says, he says it, two are better than one. So it's good when you work together. He says it's good when you're working with somebody to accomplish a task. He just said it's better. It's better. Well, what is a way that this might apply to us, not just as it relates to like a job that might only can only be done by one person, like preparing a sermon. You know, I mean, sometimes I talk to my wife about it, and she offers insights, you know, which is a real help. Like, I didn't think about that. Or maybe she says, hey, you know, that reminds me of this. And there's a great application. I didn't think of it. She did. Or there's an illustration that, hey, that reminds me of this that happened. And I'm like, oh, that's really good. And so it contributes to the message. But the writing of the sermon, it's just, I have to do that, you know? And there are things in ministry or the things on your job or there are things in your life that you just need to do that. You need to do this, and it's just, you need to do it. But think about it like this. Have you ever felt like you just wanted to crawl in a hole and just not talk to anybody? Just kind of separate yourself from society? Because you don't want to be around people. You just want to stick your head in the ground like an ostrich. I just want to go in this hole, and I want everybody to leave me alone, and I want to wallow around in my self-pity for a little while. I mean, you don't say that last phrase, but generally that's what's happening. Do you know what you need? Solomon says, you need a good friend. Because two is better than one. Two is better than one. Okay, number two. You need a good friend. You'll be helped when you fall. You'll be helped when you fall. Look at verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. In a journey, in Bible times, travelers would encounter tough terrain and they would experience serious potential and at times serious falls. And these falls would be either into a pit or off of a cliff. And a companion would be there to rescue the one who fell, to lift up, as it says here, to lift up his fellow. An example in our life would be when we fall away from God or we fall into a sin. Because when you go off into sin, you are falling. You're falling away from God. And we need a good friend to help us when we're tempted, when we're wandering. We're all tempted at times, and we all wonder at times. Listen, if you're faithful to church, that means you come to all the services. Then we're used to seeing you. That's not a bad thing. Like, that's a pretty good thing. I have said this to a lot of you. I've said it to a lot of people through the years. And I'll continue to say it because I continue to feel it. When you walk through the door, my heart is thrilled about it. There are times when certain people walk through the door, it just makes my heart thrilled. Why? Because I'm blessed to see you. We are a blessing to each other sometimes when we don't even say anything. So you come, you just walking in and I see you, it blesses me. And maybe you feel that way too. Maybe you come into church and you're just doing your normal routine and then you see somebody and just seeing them blessed you. It blessed you. It made you encouraged. And that happens. It happens sometimes when we have missed somebody and they come back, you know. But sometimes it happens, and for me it often happens with people who I see all the time. And I just see you again and it blesses me. You know, I can't forecast when that is or isn't going to happen. It just does, you know. Okay, so let's say that you're faithful and I'm used to seeing you. And then suddenly, like, you didn't show up. Like, you weren't there. And I'm not saying, like, you have to tell me that you're not coming. I'm not policing you with this. I'm just stating a truth here. You've been coming, and then suddenly you didn't come. Well, guess what? You're missed. Why? Because I'm used to seeing you and I didn't see you. Therefore, I assume or I think something is wrong. You're always here and now you're not here. What's the next question? Why aren't you here? Is something wrong? Are you sick? And then our brains sometimes just go way too far with it. Are they mad at me? And dumb stuff. You know, they're never coming back. I mean, we just sometimes take it way too far. I think the devil gets involved with wanting us to be discouraged, too, with some of this sometimes. But don't be surprised if I text you. Hey, I miss you. Are you okay? Oh, I wish the church would just leave me alone. Come on. What do you expect? You come and then you stopped. We love you. I miss you. You know. A friend, somebody who cares about you will be there to help you when you fall. Friends help us get back where we need to be when we're not where we should be. I'm talking about a good friend. Hey, you've been missed. Or hey, I've noticed something and I just want to talk to you about it. I've noticed that you've been hanging around with some Jonadabs. Is everything okay? You know, I'm concerned. Jonadab, who's that? Well, he's the friend of Amnon. I just want to be a help. You know, do you know who sometimes the last person to see that you're falling? It's you. Did you know that? Did you know that sometimes you're the last person to see that you're falling away from God? But your friends notice. The people who care about you, they see it. And so a good friend, number one, you need a good friend because two is better than one. And number two, because you'll be helped when you fall. Number three, you need a good friend because you need warmth when you get cold towards God. Look at verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? So again, this is an analogy or a kind of reference to travelers in Bible times. Travelers would often travel together with somebody else because at night, in the desert nights, it would get cold. And what they would do is they would lie close to each other and it would provide warmth and keep them warm through the night. So then two being together this way would bring heat. That's what he's talking about. And if you are a lonely traveler, then you would, as one writer said, vainly try to keep yourself warm. Well, what about spiritual coldness? Coldness, spiritually speaking, is a hardness in our hearts towards God and towards God and towards spiritual things. Don't turn there, but 1 Samuel 6:6 says this: Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? So there can be a kind of hardness that comes when you're being led of God and you're not doing what God wants you to do. Do you know who's going to know when you're getting a hardness or a coldness towards God? A friend. A friend is going to notice that. A friend is going to notice that your interests have changed. A friend is going to notice that your desires have changed. That you're not talking about the things of God like you used to. You're not as on fire as you used to be. Your desires aren't what they were once. The music that you're listening to isn't what it used to be. Something's changed. And now there's a kind of coldness that's growing in you that's clear to see towards the things of God or towards spiritual things. And so we notice that there is a coldness in somebody's life. A friend notices that. And what needs to happen is there needs to become a softness. And friends can help with that. How? Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What's that mean? Well, that means your friends punch you in the stomach. You know? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means your friends hit you with rods. No, it means that they're willing to say something that you need to hear, even if it means that it's going to upset you or it hurts you a little bit to hear it. Can I tell you that we all need friends like that? Can I tell you that I want to be a pastor who's going to be a friend like that to you? That I won't be mean about things, but at times that I'll say the things that God, as God leads, that you need to hear and not the things that you want to hear. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm glad David had a friend like that. David messed up. He wasn't where he needed to be. We're talking about a man who was once reported as being a man after God's own heart. He had a fire for God, and he got cold, and he stayed back from the conflict where he should have been, and he's on the roof, and he sees Bathsheba, and he has an illicit affair with her, and she becomes with child. He murders her husband, and you know the episode that transpires after that. And then Nathan, in chapter 12, Nathan shows up, and listen to what Nathan says. Nathan said this, telling David about his sin, pointing out, you've gotten cold to God, towards God. You've went down a wrong path. You've gotten away from God and you're not on fire. You're not thinking like you should. You're not doing like you should. You're going away from God. You're not getting closer to God. You're not doing better. You're doing worse. Nathan is pointing this out. Here's what Nathan said. He said to David, thou art the man. You're the man. Well, what did David do with this? Well, it hurt. It didn't feel good, but he needed it. And then in Psalms 51, verse 10, he asked God to do this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I love that. Renew a right spirit within me. God, I've gotten away from you. I want to be back close to you. I want my heart to be where it needs to be and where it used to be. He had a good friend. We need that. We need a good friend, but it could be that some of us needed to hear that. Like, that our heart has gotten cold. And you need to get back close to God. And I think that we need to hear that we're not where we used to be. And sometimes a friend is just the one who needs to point that out. But I think sometimes when we hear messages or thoughts like this, we know, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I should be. So a good friend, we need a good friend because, number one, two is better than one. Number two, because you'll be helped when you fall. And number three, you need warmth when you get cold towards God. Number four, you'll stand stronger if you're not standing alone. I love this one. You'll stand stronger if you're not standing alone. Verse 12, and one, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Roads in the ancient Near East were hazardous, man. I got a text today from Brother Jacob. Remember Banjo? Banjo Jacob? That's just how we're going to know Brother Jacob. He's our banjo friend. Well, he ordered a guitar and he couldn't wait to tell me. If you know guitars, then you're going to be excited about what I'm about to say. If you don't know guitars, then it's just like, okay. He ordered a Martin D28. That's a good one. Okay, this is like for me, this is in the clouds of someday, Lord. Someday, Martin D28. It's just like a dream, you know. But he's been saving for years, and he's not married yet, and he's not yet. So all his money goes towards this, right? So anyway, he tells me he orders this thing. I'm rejoicing with him, and then he texts me today that it came, and he opened up the box, and the guitar wasn't in it. He said it got stolen. Somebody taped my guitar thing, took my guitar and taped it closed. And I got the case and there was no guitar in it. And I'm like, man, I'll pray for you. I'm crying right now on the inside. You know, I'm really upset about this. So then he messages me. That was yesterday. He messaged me today and he got an email from the company that sent him the guitar because he's trying to figure out what happened. And they said, oh, we sent you the case early. The guitar shows up today. So we were like, oh. I'm like, oh. But we said answered prayer and we rejoiced together and we were so blessed about that. I said that to say, whenever he told me that yesterday it was stolen, I was thinking, what's wrong with our world? You know? And we just sort of overreact and, you know, which I had asked the Lord to help me not to overreact when I hear this kind of stuff. But it was a Martin D28, you know. Well, in Bible times, when you traveled, there were perilous roads. And when you got out in the desert and you were traveling through the mountains, you were in peril. And you might not have even known it. But there were robbers who lived in the mountains. If you know the Middle East, then you know in the mountains there's caves all over the place. Thousands and thousands and thousands and just endless caves. And there would be these robbers who were hiding in caves, waiting for somebody to come through the valley between mountain ranges. And when they saw that it was maybe one alone, then they would know we can rob these. We can pillage these. And it happened all the time. Remember Paul? He talked about his journeys in Corinthians. Let me see if I can find it. In 2 Corinthians 11. Don't turn there. He said this, in my life I have been in perils of robbers. Probably talking about journeys, on his missionary journeys. He would travel through the mountain range called the Taurus Mountains, which was notorious for this robbers hiding in these mountain caves. In fact, Alexander the Great in his campaigns said that the most treacherous part of his campaigns was the Taurus Mountains. And so the traveling was, it would have been dangerous. And it would have brought about this pillaging. So here's what Solomon is saying. You're on a journey. You have a higher level of safety when you're not alone. When there's two of you. Why? Because if somebody comes to rob you, then it's not just you trying to defend. You have you and somebody else. Well, that's reasonable. But then do you know what he said after that? He says, you know what's better than two? Three. You're like, oh man, that's good. That's good. Two's good, but three's better if you're being robbed. Can you think of an example of three who stood when everybody else bowed? Three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a story. Listen to what it says in this story. If it be so, our God, this is what they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. And then they said this, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image with that which thou hast set up. I don't know if you caught that, but they said, we will not serve thy gods. We will not bow. You're going to face attacks of your faith and your walk. And you will face attacks from the peers around you in this world to cause you or to pressure you. Pressure is a better word. To do something that you know isn't what God wants you to do. You need to get your kids involved with this. Hang on a second. What does God think about it? Well, all the other parents they're having their kids do this. You need to do this. And there's pressure. It's hard to stand against that kind of pressure, isn't it? Sometimes. You'll stand whenever everyone else goes with the flow. You will be stronger when you're not standing alone. That's such a good point, isn't it? You'll be stronger when you're not standing alone. You need a good friend because two is better than one. You need help when you fall. You need warmth when you get cold towards God. And you'll stand stronger when you're not standing alone. Good friends are a critical part of your growth. Let me give you some statements. Stop trying to be a loner. Stop trying to crawl into a hole. Amen? I just don't want to be around people. Stop. Stop doing that. Because you need to be around people. The right kind of people. You need to be around people that'll help you. Number two, the second statement, is be a friend. You know, sometimes the excuse of having a friend is, or needing a good friend is that I don't have any friends, you know. Well, God says this, because, and by the way, before I read this verse, saying I don't have any friends is not a valid excuse, okay? Because Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You can have friends, but you have to be a friend. And by the way, can we just put it on God and say, God, I need a friend. Would you give me a friend? You know, somebody that will fill this void that we're talking about here. And then the third statement, it matters who your friends are. Remember this statement? Amnon had a friend. It wasn't a good friend. If you take a bad path in life, probably it's because you had a bad... I don't want to say it that way. Let me re-say that. If you take a bad path in life, probably there's a friend in your life that had something to do with that. Not always, because our heart is deceitful and we can lead ourselves down the wrong path. But usually there's somebody who's involved with the counseling process. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Likewise, if you're taking a good path, more than likely it's because, or partly because you have a good friend. Good statements. Three questions and we're done. Have you thought about crawling in a hole? Have you thought, man, that sounds pretty good. Right about now, I feel like I'll just crawl into a hole. Number two question, have you allowed yourself to be influenced by some wrong friends? And have you been tempted to give up on having a good friend? If you've answered any of those questions, maybe, and you need some help here, maybe tonight is the night. Father, I pray your help as we respond to the message. And we went long tonight, but we know, dear Father, this is what we needed. So I pray that your help would be evident in our lives. Guide us in your path. Lead us the way we should go. Help us to establish that we need this. We need this. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.